Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour talking all things Titans here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Lots of debate on our text line, gentlemen, about whether or not the NFL can write things off if it's donated to the Red Cross and they attach their name to it.
Yeah, Maddie says his CPA here, they can't write it off. It's called tax evasion. That would be double counting the reduction, which makes sense to me. But a lot of other people are saying that there is a loophole around it. So I don't know.
This is where you come for your tax information.
I find that hard to believe. And if there is a loophole around it, it's criminal that you would be using it.
Maybe you busted open the case here, PK, with your rant.
Yes, yeah.
Inspector PK.
Heavy investigation.
Watch out, Inspector Stilley. We got a new detective in town.
Right. Yeah. I'm like Kathy Bates in that new Matlock with my birthday.
Yes, yes.
Wait, so Kathy Bates is the new Matlock?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Come on, Joe. You got a kid. Do you not watch football? They advertise it every 5 minutes.
I do. But yeah, I miss that.
That's amazing. Yeah, they remake every show known to man, and now they put some kind of twist on it, like they changed the gender of the main character.
They can't come up with the original idea anymore.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of remakes of stuff. Interesting. Kathy Bates is good. Good actor.
Yeah, check out that show. Let
me know. I know you're already a Matlock guy at your age, probably, no. So now you have another Matlock. No. That's exciting.
Neither the old nor the new. I'm watching Lioness right now, which I don't even love.
Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Good. No. My parents watched it.
Hardcastle McCormick?
Back in the time. I don't know Hardcastle McCormick. No, it sounds good. It sounds like a knife. A knife maker.
BJ and the Bear.
So, PK, you brought up the crowd of people that are now involved in the Titans front office with Reggie McKenzie now coming over, Dave Ziegler as well, and then the Borgonzi part of this that we got into all of last week. What do you make of the front office that has now come together and the experience there within said front office?
Well, I wrote last night, my initial thinking was that's a lot of cooks in the kitchen after letting Rand cook. You've got Brinker, Borgonzi, now Ziegler, McKenzie, A.J. Highsmith, I think, as the director of scouting, would be chiming in somewhere here. John Salgi is the director of college scouting.
And he's been there for a long time.
Yeah, he's been there since Reese, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's six. Then you go national scout, regional scout, Callahan, coordinator, position coach. That's 11 people conceivably that would be chiming in on a big decision. Now, some of them have, relatively no voice, and some of them obviously at the top have a big voice. But I thought, man, 11 sounds like a lot. But then I went and poked around, the five teams with the winningest records over the last 5 years, Chiefs, Bills, Packers, Ravens, Eagles, vary from 9 to 11 from what I could gather based on their internal structures. So me being used to the Titans being relatively lean doesn't mean that their size now is bad. And you want to talk about, like, if you have some title confusion, I wish they were more transparent and they listed a guy as the, Southwest scout or the Southeast scout and stuff like that. And that they gave you some specifics about what these titles mean. What does Highsmith as the director of scouting do? That's a broad.
He's in charge of the scouts would be what my presumption would be.
That's a broad title. But then you've got a director of college scouting. So what does he do in comparison?
Well, obviously you have your pro player, right? You split that up. Right. Every team to some, right? You have your college and then you have your scouting.
Right. So they've got Brian Gardner, who's director of pro scouting, and they've got John Salgi, who's director of college scouting, and they've got A.J. Highsmith, who's the director of scouting. So he's overseeing the two guys.
Boss.
Yeah, it seems like a lot, right? I'd love them to spell out exactly what's going on. But then I look at somebody like the Eagles, and the Eagles have two assistant general managers, two vice presidents of player personnel, and two senior personnel directors. And the Eagles are doing damn fine, right?
So it's just the more. It's just more is better. Is that the lesson?
No wonder they're trying to find a spot for Colt Anderson. Just keep everybody involved in there.
Can he scout?
Yeah.
I don't know if they sent him upstairs for an interview.
So quantity over quality is basically the lesson today.
Well, how about quality and quality? And
yeah. Quantity brings quality.
And now I got a lot of pushback. I mean, Ziegler and McKenzie both had turns. McKenzie 7 years as Raiders GM. Ziegler 2 years as Raiders GM. Collectively, they went to the playoffs one time, and their records were generally horrible. Now people are saying, "Well, they weren't good GMs," but and listen to what Brinker said about, you know, GMs are brought in because they're good scouts, and then they have to deal with all this other people buying it immediately. You know, now they could just work on scouts, and they're not GMs in there. That's fine. You know, they might be great and everything. I'm coming at everything with doubt. These guys have made terrible decisions for 3 years, so. When Ziegler and McKenzie make great contributions in the front office, they're probably not going to tell us about it. But great. Let's see it.
Yeah, skepticism, I think, is the proper approach here.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because those guys haven't – it's like you look at it either way, right? Like those guys weren't successful as GMs, but they got to the job of GM, you would think –
by being successful.
By doing good things along the way. And
right. Ziegler was with the Patriots.
Evaluating well.
You know, so he probably had some narrow role with the Patriots. But, you know, when you're with the Patriots, you're not swaying a draft pick very often.
Right, right. You're participating in the evaluation. So when you have these former GMs, you know, I guess it really comes down to, well, frankly, if they're all good at collaborating, right? I mean, because – you know, there you would think there'd be maybe a little bit more ego in a room like that with all these people who have been at that job, although I guess they've also been humbled too.
Yes. Would think that they have been humbled and that they're grateful for a chance and that they're, you know, now background guys who are going to contribute. Borgonzi did say yesterday to the reporters in Mobile that Ziegler will have a little bit of a operations role in the middle of what he's doing. So, you know, I think it's important that they slice this thing up, and I have no reason to doubt that they will slice this thing up where everybody very clearly knows what they're doing and has plenty to do. You know, as long as that's the case, you know your role and you know what you're doing and, you know, sounding boards and all of that, it's great. When it comes down to it, decision makers have to make good decisions.
Trevor on the text line with an interesting point here. Just says, I'm curious to see what scouting changes Borgonzi makes after the draft. Did Carthon do much in that area, or did he just hang on to J-Rob's old guys? You know, people say, well, why don't you just change the scouting staff when you're hired? I mean, you're into your draft process already, so it's hard to do that. I am going to be interesting to see as this goes along here. Maybe it's not immediately. Maybe it's, you know, at some point before next season, but does Borgonzi decide to change things up on that regard?
Yeah, I mean, it's not scouting change season. You're midway through the process. These guys have been doing reports on college prospects. They've been hitting the road and everything. It's you know, you might make one subtle change or something like that, but
it's scout performing season. It's not scout changing season. Yeah.
Post draft.
That comes post draft when also contracts are up for some people, so you might have some guys. I suspect a lot of Titans guys are on 1 year contracts. But you know, if you're firing people or not renewing people, that's a time to do it, and that's a time other people are doing it. So some people may come free. So you know, or you can get people with conceivably with promotions and stuff like that. So. I would expect change. There's been very little change from John Robinson's people. Like maybe one out, one in.
Ed asks if it's possible to have too many opinions in one room.
If it's possible?
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely possible. That, I mean, that was my fear as I looked at this. My fear is alleviated somewhat by looking at the top teams in the league and seeing that they have just as many opinions. Now, those people clearly have made it work over time, so let's see the Titans make it work over time. I think it's also possible that a bad team has too many opinions in a room and there's infighting and backstabbing and credit seeking and all of those things. You hope it doesn't turn into that, but I certainly think there are examples of that in front offices that have collapsed as opposed to thriving over having, oh, look at this nice sounding board I had over here, and Reggie's dealt with this in the past. I can go to him, and Dave's, I remember when Dave did this, and I can go to him and talk about that.
Just all be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, including a couple points on the Brian Callahan front I want to get to as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Nashville's best deal this week, Singletree Barbecue in Murfreesboro. Singletree Barbecue, a local veteran-owned and operated business, only serving world-class barbecue with the perfect combinations of sides and desserts. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us talking all things Tennessee Titans. We welcome your questions and your birthday wishes, of which there are many, on the text line, 615-737-1025. Richard on the YouTube chat says, PK having dinner over at Rand's house tonight for his birthday. Happy birthday, PK.
Once we have that meal together, everything's going to change.
And then he's like, oh, my God, look, he fell asleep after dinner. I got to write a story about it.
That's a time to fall asleep.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay to fall asleep then after dinner.
He doesn't have film to watch right now.
You of all people to endorse this foolishness.
Endorse what foolishness?
The foolish response to the thing. You got to support solid reporting.
I sleep on planes.
Yeah. Not when your company is expecting you to work.
But honestly, like if I
hope you guys hash it out at dinner.
You know, I know that there's not like a, you know, like this, if this was a player, if the PA would
players, of course,
the sleep. PA would get involved in this. But, oh, you expect my client, you expect our guys to work on planes after they just were part of a strenuous day of work?
How about the Brandon coaches association and the front office association?
Do those exist?
No. There is some loose coaches association that has absolutely no power for anything. But look, they don't need any power. Their power is these agents that do all their bidding. There's a great article at ESPN.com about the too much power these agents have, where they try to pair GMs and coaches and befuddle owners, stiff arm owners, really, into making some bad hires.
So a couple of things on the coach front. Number one, you know, we've talked about the Colt Anderson part of this and the change on special teams. Are you surprised that that was the only move made with the coaching staff? And coming off a year that you're 3-14, everything went wrong. Obviously, the general manager gets fired. He's taking a lot of blame. The quarterback is going to take a lot of blame for what happened last year. As you're evaluating this coaching staff with Callahan leading the way, Denard Wilson at DC, Nick Holtz as offensive coordinator, what sort of improvement do you need to see out of the gate from them next year? Because one of the big problems, PK, I had with this coaching staff, beyond all the problems that we know are there, is this team did not get better. There was no improvement. There were very limited answers that it felt like this team had from a coaching perspective. And it does not inspire a ton of confidence in me about them heading into year two, regardless of the moves they make this offseason.
Yes. I mean, we need to see steady improvement, and we need to see a decent start, I would say. There was one other big change on this staff, and it was a bit of a surprise. Chris Harris,
yes,
defensive passing game coordinator and quarterbacks coach.
Wait. Corner. You said corner.
Corner. Okay. Cornerbacks coach.
Like, I know that's not right.
He, I'm told, is going to land with the Jets, which basically is going to make it a flip because Tony Oden from the Jets is taking on that role. Oden overlapped in Detroit with Callahan. The more I'm talking to people about this, the more I get the feeling that this was not – Brian Callahan's choice, but it was Chris Harris's choice, which doesn't speak great. I think Denard, though, had a big hand in what went on with the corners. You know, Chris Harris, they had a lot more to work with at cornerback this year and got better, but Snead and Awuzie didn't play a lot. And so the development of Jarvis Brownlee and Daryl Baker was one of the bigger stories on this team, and you have to give the position coach some credit for that.
But he also missed time with the
personal issues, that's anything. Nobody's talking about that.
Inter-staff issue type, you know?
Nobody knows.
Also, if you're him, though, like, you also know that, like, there's a very good chance that this staff is
toast.
Borrowed time, right? I mean, so you go to a new – I mean, Aaron Glenn.
It'll work for Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, and he'll get some.
You get 2 years there instead of one year here.
Well, maybe.
Okay? So this has been brought up to us. I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. Like, there are some people that believe that Brian Callahan is toast this year. He's lame duck, no matter what. And, you know, anything short of a miraculous playoff run, that they're moving on from him next year. And Borgonzi and Brinker are going to get quote unquote their guy. Do you buy that? What do you make of kind of the setup right now for Brian Callahan heading into year two?
I mean, if they're thinking that at the beginning, it's a disastrous setup, right? I mean, you have to go in, and this has to be your guy, and you have to make it work with him, or you're not good at your job. Now, you have more time? Yeah, we talk about this all the time. All these clocks are set differently, which is a big organizational problem. So, look, if things are bad this year, you know, yeah, Callahan's certainly at risk. And then you get to hire your own coach, and it extends your thing. But it also moves you up in the pecking order of who's in the most trouble. The way that Brinker talked about this, and the plea for patience kind of with the media to the fans, is also to Amy Adams Strunk. He's clearly made it behind the scenes and feel like he's scored some there. He's clearly making it to her through the media stuff. God knows whether she's paying attention to it or not, because there's so much bashing of her included in it. I don't know. Does she withstand that and endure that to hear the other stuff, or does she turn everything off?
Does she know she still owns a football team?
We have no idea. but, you know, look, do they have to improve by a significant margin next year? Yes. If they do, I think that Callahan could get, you know, 2 years out of this to see if he can turn into something and if this team can turn into something. I know people don't want to hear that, but I think they should be patient with the whole thing. I thought they should have been patient with the whole thing, to the extent that I didn't think that Rand should have necessarily gone, and we know that I'm not a big Rand guy.
Not a big Rand fan.
Let him cook, Joe. Put on your hat.
It'll be tough at dinner.
Just have blind faith in him.
Don't cook anything with tryptophan. You might take a nap afterward. No turkey. Don't let Rand cook turkey. Might nap.
You got to stop discounting.
Hey, I got to chime it with Dennis. How about a Heart to Heart or Simon and Simon? Either of those?
Heart to Heart? Who is the young lady in Heart to Heart? I can see her feathered hair.
Wait, is Heart to Heart the one with Ted Knight?
No, I don't think so. We're going to have to look that up. Simon and Simon I like just because of the name.
Yes.
I only have that's one right. Simon. One that's, Simon that's is right. perfect.
Is that why you named him but Simon? No. From Simon and Simon?
No.
Okay.
Simon the Zealot. You can look that up. Heart to Heart does not immediately come up as the first thing looking for it. So that show really has not overtaken the internet. Wow. Heart to Heart TV show.
How far down the list do we have to go?
Jonathan Hart comes up. Heart to Heart TV series. What? Guess the dates.
Like 82 to 85 or something like that.
79 to 84.
Huh? Okay.
And her hair is shorter than I thought. Okay. It's not who. Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers.
Oh, yeah. Stephanie Powers, yeah.
Yeah, we're losing audience.
We'll be back with more of the Boomer Hour with Paul Kuharsky coming up next.
Charlie's Angels. Which was your favorite?
The Tennessee Titans. Jackson. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Happy birthday, dear Paul.
Happy birthday, Paul Kuharsky, who is spending his birthday in a way that everybody should. Joining Robbie and Rex Road for an hour talking football.
Homemade song. That's very impressive.
You're halfway to 112. Have you thought about that?
Yeah. I spent a lot of time thinking about that. We found Simon & Simon, which was on 1981 to 1989 with Gerald McCraney.
It's a good run.
Who we've concluded is in everything and looks exactly the same. And I've decided that if I need to punish Simon Kuharsky, I'm going to make him watch Simon & Simon. Sit down and watch this. Also, I got a birthday message in my email from the American Red Cross. And it goes beyond the typical form letter email. They love me because I give baby life-saving blood. But it also says, thank you for being our advocate. Robbie stole that line. Thank you for being our advocate against CBS and the NFL trying to steal our fire putting out glory.
We appreciate the American Red Cross for tuning in today on the program.
Go Did you just say you give them baby blood?
What, my blood saves
more babies.
Oh, okay.
Saves babies.
I give them baby blood. What?
Yeah. What are you doing? I save babies. What do you do?
I give the American Red Cross.
Do you say babies?
Through the NFL. You too.
No, you don't do it through the NFL. You do it through the NCAA, which is way worse.
YouTube shout out for Mork and Mindy, by the way.
Yes.
Good call.
He's a little over the top, that dude. I got tired of him.
He passed away.
I know. I got tired of a guy who happened to die. Okay. I'm sorry. Am I allowed? No thoughts on the dead? George Washington, the teeth story gets annoying to me. Is that not allowed? Is that not allowed?
It's still too soon. Too soon.
PK, what do you make of the way this Jacksonville thing is played out with – the coaching search, and then Balky gets fired, and then Liam Cohen comes back and has this awkward press conference where he's screaming Duvall with weird facial expressions on his face. Oh. Very Jacksonville, the way this is all played out.
That Duvall is painful. Do they like it down there? I mean, they like the Duvall thing. Did they like Liam Cohen's Duvall down there?
I think it'd be hard to like.
If you look,
I hope they
didn't
see it and listen. If you listen to it, maybe you could tolerate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like he's pretending to be like a stoner.
Yeah, like it's
like, here's what it sounds like for the kids who are parked down at the beach at 3 a.m.
Like when you just hear it, I mean, it's bad, but it's not that bad. It's the facial expression and the goofy smile.
Well, he's a weird looking
that goes
dude
along with
for
it.
Starters. Here's what I think.
We have ripped Liam
and
Cohen.
I know Tony Khan. I'm friendly with Tony Khan when I see him, and I think he's a terrific guy. But word was that Balky was Tony Khan's guy. And I think family stuff screws up teams.
So dad stepped in is what you're saying. Dad stepped in?
Well, I just think they realized that they couldn't get anybody with a guy that was there because the son liked them.
I mean, the whole league was only screaming it for weeks, and then they finally figure it out.
I'm saying, wait.
And then they give Cohn what they were going to give Ben Johnson. And you got to round it back down. Like, that's the money that Johnson wanted. That's the control over GM that he would have liked. He doesn't get that in Chicago because of what he inherits. But you can't give Liam Cohn the same deal that you're going to give Ben Johnson based on his experience. I think he's got potential to be good. By the way, Dalton Kincaid has not gotten nearly enough grief. I know that he's like suffering and all of that. But how this play, I mean, we've talked all about the fourth down spot. Meanwhile, this guy's diving, and a ball is right between his arms. They're showing it right now on first
take. I mean, you don't think he's taking enough grief? This is now the 10,000th time I've watched this play.
I don't think it's been like a classic drop situation where you go, oh, my God, how did that guy not catch that ball the way it has been in other game drop.
You know who's really thankful for
drop
Dalton Kincaid?
I know what you're going to say.
Mark Andrews.
Yeah. I knew you were saying that. But Mark Andrews was way easier than that play.
I agree.
That play is not that bad. I mean, it's a regular diving catch.
Oh, he
should have
caught
ground
it. Oh, he should have caught
between
it.
Your hands.
What were you saying?
Jacksonville, you're giving him too much. I hope he's a good coach. I'm intrigued by the guy. I'm intrigued by anybody new that hasn't anybody new on offense that potentially brings intrigue. And I still hold out hope for Trevor Lawrence for some reason. I don't know why. I have no reason to like Trevor Lawrence or to hope that he gets good. Maybe it's because I'm in this division just starved of quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud with the step back. You know, I hope he turns out to be good, but I'd like to watch better quarterback play six times a year. And, I Lawrence is going to be there, so it might as well be better from him.
Yeah. I mean, he's okay. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, maybe he gets better with this.
Maybe he gets better. Yeah. You know, it's another – it's an amazing – it's amazing how fast these – you know, again, Liam Cohen bounced from L.A. one bad season.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, okay, well, back to Kentucky you go. And, I mean, Baker was already playing well. I mean, look, he may end up being great with Jacksonville, but it's amazing how little it can take or it seem to take to get yourself in a position to get one of these jobs and all of a sudden have a franchise as your playland, you know? And then Bobby Slowick, who was that guy a year ago, is now –
out of a job.
Yeah.
You just run through.
Titans, hire him.
Run assistant through the QB list coach. Of they didn't have room to get Colt Anderson on staff. run through the list of head coaches like the Jets have had and the Jags have had, the Browns had before Stefanski, who I think is a very good head coach. I mean, you just look at those lists and you're like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And this is another one that has a good chance of going on that list.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And first off, the Bake Show, apparently, if you want to be a head coach, you just go be the offensive coordinator of Tampa Bay. The Bake Show will get you a job.
He's the kingmaker.
He's
going to
have his ninth coordinator in 9 years?
Yeah, 9 years. It's unbelievable. But he just – I mean, the last 2 years, he's been really good in Tampa Bay. So, right.
So maybe Canales and Cohen are just amazing. But again, Baker was good in Cleveland before he got hurt. He was good. He's really good, especially that 1 year. When he smoked the Steelers in the playoffs, I mean, that was a very good.
Especially when you factor in the Cleveland Browns tax.
Very good.
Like it's the Browns tax, the Jets tax. Hopefully, if you're a Titans fan, it doesn't turn into the Titans tax.
How much good would have to pass through?
Right. Like, yeah. Well, that's true.
There's a slight requirement there that you have to have.
That is true.
Talented how do we guy know? Has to pass through.
PK, are you suffering like much of the country is? From Chiefs fatigue, what do you make of the Super Bowl matchup?
I was thinking about this. Here's my big issue. Like, I don't have a rooting interest in NFL games generally. Regular season and everything. You know, I get home from the Titans game. I watch Sunday Night Football. I don't really have a rooting interest. I just want to see a good game, you know. But I get into the playoffs here, and I develop a little bit of a rooting interest, like most of America. And then I'm disappointed and pissed off, and it's like watching the Yankees, you know, in the world. Not like that, because that's my big passion. But so then I'm pissed off like everybody else. I don't like it. I'd rather be dispassionate about it and just kind of watch a good game and see a result. But I get into the Bills. I've got a good friend. One of my best college buddies is from Buffalo. He's into it. We're all texting about it. We're all, you know, on the train for him and watching it and everything. And then I'm just as pissed off as everybody else about the calls and the insistence on the push left and all of that. And I wind up, you know, grumpy on my Sunday night instead of I'd rather not care. I didn't enjoy it. I'm happy for my wife and my wife's family who are Philadelphians and way into the Eagles. And I'd really like to see the Eagles win. I definitely have Chiefs fatigue. I'm disappointed that the Bills couldn't find a way to win that game because I think, you know, the Chiefs, as good as they are, the percentages come back at some point.
And 17 in a row, one-score game.
They should.
Yeah, that they've sustained it this long is remarkable. You have to give them credit and everything. But people tire of dynasties, right? I mean, it happened with the 49ers and the Steelers and the Patriots and everything. And I'm at that point, like seemingly everybody.
But again,
are there people out there that aren't Chiefs fans who are enjoying it? They're like, wow, this is a great football team, and I'm enjoying seeing this great football team be great.
I'll raise my hand a little bit because
Swifties.
Yeah, there you go. It's so remarkable. And again, like we are potentially here seeing history. There's a reason that no one's ever done three in a row. And like you said, usually teams regress to the mean and the close game thing. It's just – it's you know, Mahomes, man, again, he didn't get the MVP this year. He didn't have the numbers. But he is such the best player in the NFL. He just will make every freaking play you need to make.
But would you have rather seen the Bills win that game?
Yes. Oh, I was totally rooting for the Bills. But I'm saying, like, I am kind of appreciative, and I'm kind of switching to, like, I want to see history now.
It's interesting to me, though, that there's such a universality that so many people are against.
Universalness?
No. The word I was looking for is the right word. I just couldn't say it.
I really.
That so many people are against them, like seemingly everyone. During the Patriots dynasty, not everybody was against the Patriots. There were people who were into the Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there was a lot of people got sick.
A lot got sick, but there were still some people that were, like, into the Brady-Belichick thing.
Yeah.
I feel like more. Yeah. So I'm curious about that with this team and why that is.
I mean, I have no idea to quantify that, but I don't know. I feel like there are a lot of people that were a lot of. I mean, the whole world seemed to be celebrating to me when that undefeated team lost to the Giants. You know, didn't that seem like it to you?
See, that was the one I wanted to win.
You wanted to win.
Well, that was
at that point. I was like, just go undefeated. Why not?
Same thing. I'm just saying with the Chiefs. Let's see history.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple quick texts on the text line. Al says, Simon says, my dad is really old and not very positive. That was pretty good, I thought.
A guy wants cheerleading.
Dylan,
they won three games. I come in here with pom-poms and balloons.
Dylan has a very, I think, a valid point. So we're not allowed, we Titans fans, are not allowed to root for Derrick Henry because he left Titans and Ravens, but Paul can hope and pray and beg on his knees that Trevor Lawrence blossoms into a great player. You hypocrite!
I didn't hope and pray and beg on his knees. And
It is a bit of a contradiction.
At a certain point, it was fine for you to root for Derrick Henry once it became clear that the Ravens having a hand in the Titans playoff fate was
it's about week three.
Yeah, was laughable. I still think it's odd to root for an arch rival, and I'll never back off of that stance. My favorite player on the Yankees goes to the Red Sox. I hate the Red Sox more than I love my favorite player. That's not a complicated thing, and I'm never going to back off of that. And you young kids who don't get that's a you problem. Learn to love your team.
Yeah,
you young
little
folks.
Losers. Mr. Halfway to 112 has spoken.
By the way, my Packers group thread is all over me right now. Just make sure to point out, Chiefs would not be the first to three-peat. They just would be in the Super Bowl.
How did you find your Packers fan thread?
The long story.
A Packers fan. Like,
long story.
Did somebody reach out to you and say, hey, you've changed teams, and we'd like to include you in our text chat.
We got a whole text thread right here.
The internet's an amazing
very
thing,
popular.
Paul. You should check it out.
615-737-1.
Did you get this text when you had gout? Joe.
Gout support group? Joe,
we've found GSG. You, and we'd like to add you to our text group to talk about avoiding mead.
Similar to you and the American Red Cross. Next thing we know, PK is going to be on the Red Cross group thread.
I am on the saving babies list.
Mr. Baby Blood.
One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts for Paul Kuharsky. You're on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A lot of people with Chiefs fatigue out there on the text line. A lot of people with Chiefs fatigue.
Yep, Kelsey and his silly top hat. Taylor, Mahomes' wife and family. Let's not forget Jackson Mahomes. I haven't seen him lately. What's he? He's been kind of quiet, huh?
They've suppressed him.
Yeah.
It's probably a good idea.
It's a very good idea.
But Kelsey.
Jackson,
Kelsey's not unlikable, is he? Kelsey unlikable?
I think he's grown less likable.
Yeah?
I think anybody is unlikable if you see them enough. That's kind of my general thought on sports. Like, everybody becomes unlikable
theory.
At some point if you see them enough.
Overexposure is a danger.
It's fair.
I'm going to write something about
Michael
overexposure.
Jordan, good point. Brady, good point.
Michael Jordan.
In both cases, very unlikable.
I want to write something about overexposure in terms of retired NFL players. Like, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick heads my list. Like, who wants to see Ryan Fitzpatrick? Who in the public was like, you know what, put Ryan Fitzpatrick in a lot of commercials. I really love that guy.
Is he? I mean, the only time I ever see him is in the, you know, on the Is it Prime? The Prime.
He's in a lot of commercials.
He's in a lot of bleep now.
Like what?
Joe's never seen a commercial.
How am I missing all these amazing commercials?
They're not like amazing, but they're nonstop.
I mean, I see Jason. I mean, you didn't
know
that.
You didn't know Kathy Bates is in Matlock. If you watch a game on CBS, there's no way not to know.
I mean, I know that Jason Kelsey's in like every like Campbell, like he's in every commercial. There's overexposure.
Yes.
Jason,
a lot of overexposure. Jason Kelsey is a monumental figure in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But how have we been forced on us nationally to this degree? This is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, how do they choose to make these guys? Now, Baker Mayfield is finally worthy of being national, and his State Farm campaign that they jammed down our throats for 4 years is over.
Those stadium
when he was a scrub,
yeah,
they were good commercials. But I want to talk to somebody about this.
Here, hey, I want to read this text, which I totally agree with. I'm pulling for the Chiefs for two reasons. I'm in awe of Mahomes. I think he's the best ever. And I can't stand Brady. I'm disgusted every time I hear Brady and GOAT together. Mahomes winning will help eliminate that.
How could you be disgusted by hearing Brady and GOAT together?
Well, if you hate
he's
Brady,
the GOAT.
Well, there you go. You just put it together. Let me ask you guys both this.
Hey, I'm disgusted.
Good for you in the Super Bowl. You get to hear Brady on the broadcast.
That yeah, Edgar, I'm disgusted by hearing that Ichiro is a Hall of Famer.
So, not according to one guy.
Let me ask you guys this question in all seriousness. What does Mahomes have to do to be the consensus GOAT?
I think match or surpass surpassed.
You have to
Super
use
Bowl
seven?
Number.
Oh, come on.
Well, I don't know if you have to necessarily match it, but like part of Brady's greatness is he did it for 22 years.
Yeah.
Like that's part of the the longevity is part. Like there are some people that are going to say if he wins this when he's already there, he's not. Like you've got to do this for longer.
But again, if we're doing the longevity thing, then no one should ever even try to throw Jordan at LeBron anymore, right? I mean, because there's a sliding scale of things.
There's a sliding scale.
Yeah. Right. If that's the case, then Jordan is done.
I just think Jordan's a better player.
Okay. Well, then some people can't say that about Mahomes. You say he has to have seven Super Bowls. I think Mahomes is a better player than Brady.
Well, I think.
Sorry.
I think in NFL context, it's going to be judged by Super Bowls by a vast majority of people. Super Bowls won.
Okay.
But I mean, why are you complaining?
Then Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer are way better than, you know, Dan Marino.
Well,
cool.
Yeah, but those are Brad Johnson. We understand the context of that, and those are on small,
you're right,
on small scale.
I think if Mahomes gets five and has longevity and has more numbers and everything, I think he'll be okay.
I'm surprised you're being so defensive about this because the odds are in his favor that he's going to match it or surpass it. I mean, at this stage of his career, how far ahead of Brady is he?
This is, to me, I know we have to go.
He's on a ridiculous track.
To me, this is it gets the ring counting thing gets a little bit much. It gets a little bit, like, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into this.
But he might get 10.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, he might.
Well, yeah.
Then you'll be fine counting his rings.
Thank you. Well, how old will you be then?
Well, right now, I mean, he might have 10. He's got 3. He's on his way to 4. He might have 10 in the next 6 years. Who knows?
Yeah. 61, maybe?
Are we going to get to Howie?
We're not.
Text your question in, Howie. I'll ask him.
PK, happy birthday.
But now you're driving.
Don't block the box, but lock your locks. For me, on my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, boys.
Get
you some
donuts on the way home.
Yeah,
that does
it
for us today. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.